Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the TR90 Body Burn 30 support call. This call happens Monday through Friday at this time, which for me is 6:40 Pacific time, 7:40 Mountain time, 8:40 Central time, and 9:40 Eastern time. Thrilled to have you along with us. If you ever miss these calls, you can pick them up on an application called SoundCloud or wherever you get your podcasts by putting in Frank, F-R-A-N-K, Lomas, L-O-M-A-S, and TR90, or Frank Lomas and Solutions, the digit for anti-aging, pushed together as all is one word. I'm Susan Mann out of Portland, Oregon, welcoming you to the call. If you wish to catch us live, if you dial into 712-775-8972, you can catch us live at the aforementioned time, and we would be delighted to have you along with us. Our panel of hosts do these calls in support of your TR90 efforts, and I really do like the TR90 program. It worked for me much better than the R90, which was its immediate predecessor about 14, 15 years ago. The TR90 program, when you're first starting out, is your one lean meal a day, two shakes a day, three snacks a day, 30 grams of protein at least three of those meals. Taking your supplements 15 to 20 minutes before a meal is best, but if you're not able to do that, and about 40% of the time I was not, as a substitute teacher, lunch and breakfast and lunch, I never knew when they were going to be, so I had to be taking those supplements with my meals. For me, that worked. Your results may be different, but for me, that worked. 7+ servings of fruits and vegetables every single day. Those fruits and vegetables will give you your macronutrients, micronutrients, and fiber. Macronutrients are your proteins, your carbs, your sugars, your fats. Your micronutrients are your vitamins and minerals. And fiber, well, that helps in two ways. One of which is with satiety or that feeling of fullness. The other way that fiber helps is for good digestive health. For that, guys need about 45 grams of fiber daily, and ladies, we need about 32 grams of fiber daily for that good digestive health. And with that being said, if you're getting all that fiber, you'll want to get up and get moving. 30 minutes of moderate to heavy exercise at least 5 days a week. You can definitely do more. Do not do less. You can chunk that up into one 30-minute chunk, two 15-minute chunks, or three 10-minute chunks, or you can do bigger chunks if you want to. It's totally up to you, depending on what's fitting into your lifestyle. And if you're doing all that moving and you're exercising heavily, well, you can lose up to a quart of body moisture in an hour. So it's recommended that you stop about every 15 minutes or so and drink 8 ounces of fluids to replenish that hydration level. Hydration starts at 1 ounce of water for every 2 pounds you weigh. So if you weigh 100 pounds, you start out at 50 ounces of water and you build it up from there depending on how active you are and whether it's really humid out, whether you're exercising really heavily. So it's really important to keep that hydration level up. And the last thing that, even though it's not included in the TR90 program, but in all of my studies has found, 7 to 9 hours of good quality sleep a night. That sleep does a multitude of what I like to call system resets to really set your brain up for making good decisions, clearing out toxins, repairing muscles and tissues, storing memories. It just does a wealth of various different things. So as I said, I'm Susan Mann out of Portland, Oregon. I'm welcoming you to the call. I'm a substitute teacher currently by trade. Trained as a teacher and have been substitute teaching this time around about 25, 26 years. I'm a trained educator, just had a huge interest in health, nutrition, and exercise going back several decades back to when my grandparents were not in the best of health when I was in high school. So I just really have latched onto that because I did not want to have heart disease and diabetes as I got older and didn't want to have to deal with some of the ramifications of those two things. So today's information, because I'm always looking for additional information that will help support that TR90 effort, is coming out of a book that's called Brain Rules, 12 Principles for Surviving, Thriving at Work, Home, and School by John Medina. That's M-E-D-I-N-A. And as I mentioned on Friday, rule number four well, the first three rules are, rule one is exercise, rule two is, see if I can find what rule two is survival, rule three is wiring, and rule four is attention. And we heard how he woke up in the middle of the night and found somebody had broken into his home, and it really got his attention, and he called the police and was standing guard outside his children's bedroom so that whoever had broken into the house wasn't going to get overly excited and do something they weren't supposed to do. So with that being said, we're going to delve a little more into attention. And so in brain rules for the rule number four, where it says, can I have your attention, please? We've already dove into memory. Now we're going to be jumping into interest and awareness. Happily, there are some commonalities regardless of culture. For example, we have known for a long time that interest or importance is inextricably linked to attention. Researchers sometimes call this arousal. Exactly how it relates to attention is still a mystery. Does interest create attention? We know that the brain constantly scans the sensory horizon with events constantly assessed for their potential interest or importance. The more important events are then given some extra attention. And can the reverse occur with attention creating interest? Marketing professionals think so. They have known for years that the novel stimuli or the unusual, the unpredictable, or distinctive are powerful ways to harness attention in the service of interest. One well-known example is a print ad for Sauza Commemorativo Tequila. It shows a single picture of an old, dirty, bearded man donning a brimmed hat and smiling broadly, revealing a single tooth. Printed above the mouth is this. This man only has one cavity. A larger sentence below says, life is harsh. Your tequila shouldn't be. Flying in the face of most tequila marketing strategies, which consist of scantily clad 20-somethings, dancing at a party, the ad is effective at using attention to create interest. So next is awareness. Of course, we must be aware of something for it to grab our attention. You can imagine how tough it is to research such an ephemeral concept. We don't know the neural location of consciousness, loosely defined as the part of the mind where awareness resides. The best data suggests that several systems are scattered throughout the brain. We have a long way to go before we fully understand the biology behind attention. One famous physician who has examined awareness at the clinical level is Dr. Oliver Sacks, a delightful British neurologist and one terrific storyteller. One of his most intriguing clinical cases was first described in his best-selling book, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. Sacks described a wonderful older woman in his care, intelligent, articulate, and gifted with a sense of humor. She suffered a massive stroke in the back region of her brain that left her with a most unusual deficit. She lost the ability to pay attention to anything that was to her left. She could pick up objects only in the right half of her visual field. She could put lipstick only on the right half of her face. She ate only what was on the right half of her plate. This caused her to complain to the hospital nursing staff that her portions were too small. Only when the plate was turned and the food centered her right visual field could she pay any attention to it and have her fill. Data like this are very useful to both clinicians and scientists. When the damage occurs to a specific region of the brain, we know that any observed behavioral abnormality must in some way be linked to the region's function. Examining a broad swath of patients like Sachs's give scientists a cumulative view of how the brain pays attention to things. The brain can be divided roughly into two hemispheres of unequal function, and patients get strokes in either. Marcel Masulam of Northwestern University found that the hemispheres contain separate spotlights for visual attention. The left hemisphere spotlight is small and capable of paying attention only to items on the right side of the visual field. The right hemisphere, however, has a global spotlight, according to Masulam. Getting a stroke on the left side is much less catastrophic because the right side can pitch in under duress to aid vision. Of course, the sight is only one stimulus to which the brain is capable of paying attention. Just let a bad smell into the room for a moment or make a loud noise and people easily will shift attention. We pay close attention to our psychological interiors, mulling over internal events and feelings again and again with complete focus, with no obvious external stimulation. Yeah, my brain's kind of not functioning real well yet this morning. What's going on in our heads when we turn our attention to something? Oh, so that next section says, red alert! 30 years ago, a scientist by the name of Michael Posner derived a theory about attention that remains popular today. Posner started his research career in physics, joining the Boeing Aircraft Company soon out of college. His first major research contribution was to figure out how to make jet engine noise less annoying to passengers riding in commercial airplanes. You can thank your relatively quiet airborne ride, even if the screaming turbine is only a few feet from your eardrums. In part on Posner's first research efforts, his work on planes eventually led him to wonder how the brain processes information of any kind. This led him to a doctorate in research and to a powerful idea, sometimes jokingly referred to as the Trinity model. Posner hypothesized that we pay attention to things because of the existence of three separable but fully integrated systems in the brain. One pleasant Saturday morning, my wife and I were sitting on our outdoor deck watching a robin drink in our bird bath when all of a sudden we heard a giant whoosh above our heads. Looking up, we caught the shadow of a red-tailed hawk dropping like a thunderbolt from its perch in a nearby tree, grabbing the helpless robin by the throat. As the raptor swooped by us, not 3 feet away, blood from the robin's watered on our table. What started as a pleasant repast ended as a violent reminder of the savagery of the real world. We were stunned into silence. In Posner's model, the brain's first system functions much like the two-part job of a museum security officer, surveillance and alert. He called it the alerting or arousal network. It monitors the sensory environment for any unusual activities. This is the general level of attention our brains are paying to our world, a condition termed as intrinsic awareness. My wife and I were using this network as we were sipping our coffee and watching the robin. If the systems detected something unusual, such as the hawk swoosh, it can sound an alarm heard brainwide. That's when intrinsic awareness transforms into a specific attention called phasic alertness. After the alarm, we orient ourselves to the attending stimulus, activating the second network. We may turn our heads towards the stimulus, perk up our ears, perhaps move toward or away from something. It's why both my wife and I immediately lifted our heads away from the robin, attending to the growing shadow of the hawk. The purpose is to gain more information about the stimulus, allowing the brain to decide what to do. Posner termed this the orienting network. The third system, the executive network, controls the, oh my gosh, what should I do now behaviors. This may include setting priorities, planning on the fly, controlling impulses, weighing the consequences of our actions, or shifting attention. For my wife and me, it was a stunned silence. So we have the ability to detect new stimulus, the ability to turn towards it, and the ability to decide what to do based on its nature. Posner's model offered testable predictions about brain function and attention, leading to the neurological discoveries that would fill volumes. Hundreds of behavioral characteristics have since been discovered as well. Four have been considered practical potential: emotions, meanings, and multitasking. And we're going to stop there for today, and we might jump into emotions, get our attention on Wednesday. Tomorrow we'll have Frank up, and I'll be back on Wednesday. Thursday we'll have Frank again, and on Friday I should be back. I want to wish you a great day. At the top of the hour, if you scoot over to Facebook, One Team Global Live, one of our leaders will be sharing some information on how to build a new skin business. With that being said, this is Susan Mann from Portland, Oregon, on August 5th, 2024, signing out. And I welcome any thoughts or comments you may have as soon as I get us off mute. And if you're one of the quiet people and would rather just send a text, you can definitely do that to 503-502-4863. And just let me know you're part of the TR90 group, and I will make sure that you do not end up in my spam folder. Hopefully you found that of interest. I know that the brain works in mysterious ways, and you want to make sure that ours is working well. And if there's no other thoughts or comments, I'm going to go ahead and release this. Have a great day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.